In our first year of opening, we had a contact, a friend of my husband's, that sent up payloads. So you like send up some things into space on a rocket. He was a big beer nerd. And so he's like, do you want to send up some hops with us? I'm like, oh my gosh. So we reached out and we got some Comet hops and sent those up into space with this guy's payload. And then we brewed a beer with it called Space Party.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, or whatever, good night, I don't know. hi, welcome to the Craft Brewers Creative Podcast, a beer can lover production. We are the craft beer podcast for lovers of all things creative and visual, but not necessarily drinkable in the craft beer industry. I am your host, Jenna Steele, and I'm so excited to be here this week. Next week, and literally every other week, to bring on and chat with other beer can lovers, brewers, and artists. We're going to get to know stories and people behind some of our favorite breweries and beer labels. I'm sure we'll talk a bit about the beer, too, along the way. Can't really help that. And if you want to keep up with me, keep up with the podcast and all of that so you don't miss anything, pretty please click like follow or subscribe or whatever it is, wherever you are listening to this, and stay up to date and follow along on Instagram at Beer Can Lover. So there's a lot of breweries and cans and tap rooms and stuff that, you know, we talk about and mention. And so if you want to get to see it and not just hear about it, because I mean, it literally is a visual thing. It's probably the best place at the moment. So check out the Instagram at Beer Can Lover so that you can actually see what we're chatting about. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or you think I should interview someone specific, get a certain brewery on, if you want me to try a certain beer, if you just want to yell at me or give me compliments, literally whatever you want. But really, comments, suggestions, etc. I would love to hear from you. So shoot me an email at pod@beercanlover.com. That is pod@beercanlover.com. I would love to hear from you. And, you know, this is one of the first episodes I'm putting out. And leaving my life before to do this and really dive into the craft beer world in a way that I hadn't before is really terrifying. It's just kind of crazy because it's in moments like these where I get to talk to really cool people that I wouldn't have otherwise. And I get to learn more and just pick someone's brain about something that I think is fascinating. Other people find interesting and want to hear this interview and like want to hear about. And so I'm just kind of really happy right now and I can't wait to start it. So I'm about to bring on Molly Reynolds from Celestial Beer Works in Dallas, Texas. Like celestial meaning like the kind of like out of space, like kind of ordeal stuff. I think she'll explain it better, but bringing that and the science together, you know, with beer and with their whole art angle on it. I absolutely love what they do. They have the prettiest beer cans. Like right now, before we even attempt to talk to Molly, I highly encourage you to open your phone, type in Celestial Beer Works, and just look how pretty everything is. Like, I'm being so serious. It's all so pretty. All right, so here we go. Let's bring on Molly. Okay, so hi Molly, how are you doing? I'm literally so excited to be talking to you today.
Yes, I am too. I've been waiting for this. We're doing well over here. We just had a release this morning, so things are starting to calm down. So this is perfect timing.
Oh, perfect. What did you release today?
It was a collaboration with a brewery outside of Austin called Jester King, this brewery that we've just been obsessed with for a very long time. So it was a pretty cool collab for us. But it was a double IPA hazy with Phantasm powder and Strata hash and some other hops. But
that sounds awesome. And so how does that work? Did you do it at your place or at theirs?
Yes. So generally when you do a collaboration, most of the time you'll either go to their place, brew a beer there and then release it, or vice versa. And so we already did one with them about a month and a half, 2 months ago. And so for this one, they came over here and then we release it at our location.
It's so fun. What's it? What did you say it was called?
It's called Farm Hash, but with a PH because of that like Phantasm powder we use.
Got it.
Which is also,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Damn, I wish I could try it right now, but
I know.
So I just want to, you know, get started and first off introduce you, or give yourself an opportunity to introduce yourself. So you and your husband co-founded, Celestial Beer Works in 2018.
Yes, that is right.
And so you're, co-owner, co-founder and creative director.
Yes, creative director. Yeah. So yeah, my husband and I started this on Halloween was our grand opening of 2018. And then we all definitely wear a lot of hats, but my main job and my title is creative director here.
Well, I love that. Mm-hmm. And especially because I think your creative stuff is all the best.
Thank you.
And so I'm really excited to talk to you mainly because I think you guys have like one of the best like aesthetics and themes and everything of like so many breweries. I just love it so much. And I know, or I read that you used to teach art, and I think that's incredible and fascinating. And so can you tell us a little bit about how you guys came to start the brewery and, you know, start your own business and how you guys took your art and his beer together?
Yeah. So yes, I was an art teacher for an elementary school for 5 years before doing this. And I met Matt, my husband, who I opened up Celestial with, my first year of teaching. And he was a mechanical engineer at that point. And then he got a promotion to be a design engineer. And we seemed like, you know, we're happy. I really loved my job teaching little ones. Art. I graduated with a painting degree. So it was definitely two of my loves melded into one, working with children and then doing art every day with them. But then as our relationship progressed and we kind of got a little bit more serious, he had been homebrewing the whole time. This job popped up at a Thai Vietnamese like fusion restaurant that was also a brew pub here in Dallas. And they were just looking for someone to help them with their beer program. And then kind of they were in the process of expanding. And so they needed someone to not only help them kind of formulate their recipes, but then take them to another level in their new location. And so Matt was just like, you know what? I love brewing. This is something I've been thinking about. So he sort of jumped into that role, was very, very happy with it. And then once he had that role at Malai, we got a little bit more serious about it. We're like, you know what? We could do this. People in the DFW area, Dallas-Fort Worth area, were very interested in his beers and it was getting some pretty good reception. And so we kind of like started to formulate this like theme of Celestial, which we just felt like a lot of things could fall into. So because it's like means like spacey or of the heavens, really like anything, pun intended, but under the sun could fall into it. And so as an artist, I loved that. I could really work with like all kinds of celestial astronomy, imagery, and really like play with that. So we kind of worked on it for a little while. We wanted to be in Dallas. We just looked at different spaces in the area and then, yeah, just jumped on in. He left his job at Malai. I left my job teaching and we began. Yeah. It's been really great.
That's so cool how you guys were able to do that together. And what I also saw was that in the same time, though, you had two kids.
Yes. So yeah, Eleanor, our now 4-year-old, was born during our build out. So when I was doing like a big mural on the front of the building, I was pregnant half the time. The other time she was in her little pack and play in the front. And then pretty funny, when our first tanks ever were delivered, it was actually on the day that I was giving birth with Simon. So luckily Matt's parents came and received the tank. So We're just like, oh, joking, like, oh, we had 5 babies that day. We had Simon and then our 14th. So,
oh my God, yeah. Literally, it's like beer and babies born on the same day.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes. Which has been really fun because we're very much in that mode of bringing our kids to the brewery and having kind of like events and spaces for them here, which has been really cool for all these young families in Dallas where people feel very comfortable in this like family friendly atmosphere and bringing their kids and letting them share in on the fun.
Yeah.
It's been great.
And your beer isn't like, or in your like artwork and everything, it's not like, you know, some of like the dark skulls or anything. It's like everything's light and fun and kid friendly there, I guess. So that's just an amazing amount of stuff to accomplish in like 2 years. But I mean,
thank you.
That's insane. And then, so you weren't open, or I guess you were open for about a year before the pandemic.
Yes, like a year, year and a half, pretty much. And so luckily we had sort of made enough of a name for ourselves in this area. Mm-hmm. People knew we were here. And we just like thank the Lord that we had a canning line already before the pandemic. So even during all the times we had to close down everything, we still had our canning line where we could pump out cans, people could get them to go, which we were very, very lucky.
Yeah, I was just talking to someone and I forget how long they said it took to get the canning line from the pandemic. And I heard like the country ran out of cans, but like, they said, I forget, but it was over 2 months for sure.
Oh, I've heard of one brewery in our area that it took 6 months from when they like first like looked into it to receiving it. So I think just everyone trying to find
what
some
we need
way
to go. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So did that really increase your, were you already canning all of your different beers beforehand or did that then ramp up?
Oh yeah. We were probably canning about 75%. And then for a while we canned 100%. We just, you know, straight from the big tanks into the canning line. We didn't even keg anything. Oh. And then all the kegs we did have in the very beginning, we just canned off of the kegs. So it was a ton of designing labels for beers that we hadn't yet and figuring out some of the, as an artist, it killed me, but some of the beers had to go out immediately and we didn't have labels yet. And so we had to just like print out on address labels and stick them on cans. And I was just like, oh, this is so ugly. But yeah, kind of got in the rhythm. And so definitely more, even now as things are really seeming a little bit more normal, I think can sales are higher than they were pre-pandemic, just because I think still so many people want to grab and go drink at their house where they feel safe and secure with their families.
Yeah, totally. So, okay, backing up just a little bit before the brewery, before everything, and were you a big, were you drinking a lot of the home brewing? I'm just curious.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Was it, I guess it was good if he wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually on our first date, we met on Tinder and I just remember like part of his bio was like, craft beer lover or craft beer enthusiast. And I was just like, all right, roll my eyes. Like every guy's a craft beer enthusiast. But then on our first date, for part of the date, he brought out his homebrew and I was like, okay, this is pretty good. So yeah.
And were you already into it?
Yes. Yeah. So I'd probably been drinking craft beer, for maybe like 3-4 years at that point when I met him. So yeah, that was a very exciting thing for me. I was like, all right, this is pretty cool.
That is so cool.
Make it an
announcement. And before that, sorry, I like to back up quickly. Cause I just have a couple fun questions that I like to ask. One is, so do you remember the first beer you ever drank and then the first craft beer?
Yes. The first beer I ever had was Bud Light. I lived in St. Louis at the time. And so everyone you go on the Anheuser-Busch tours and you see the Clydesdale horses. And so at that time I was like, oh, Bud Light is my beer. This is great. Like loved all those. But then when I kind of grew out of that a little bit, I mean, still love the BL sometimes, but my first craft beer was New Belgium Ranger, which now I believe is called Voodoo Ranger. It has like I can kind of like picture.
Yeah,
the,
I can see the cross, the X's in the eyes, I think.
Yes, exactly.
Something.
But yeah,
those
it used to be called Ranger. I know, yeah. Yeah, some really of the like labels them. I really love. I forgot what it was called, but
part of what I'm doing is like, good beer, like some of the best beer doesn't necessarily have the best artwork, but I'm like, but I'm in it for the artwork. And so even if it's mediocre, sometimes I'm like all in for it. And sometimes even the best beer, I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't care because I don't like the can.
Oh, yeah. I know. I went through like a huge phase where all I drank was Stone, the brewery out of San Diego, and all of their beer labels. They're very well done. They're like clean and gorgeous, but they're like very daunting and spooky and have like gargoyles and skulls and very not my particular aesthetic, but yeah. Well done for that. But yeah.
And then do you remember the first craft brewery you ever went to?
Ooh, that's a good question. I feel like probably Community Beer, which is a really big brewery here that's actually in the process of moving pretty close to us. And they're like revamping their space, getting like a huge restaurant and like a much larger taproom space. But they were one of the first breweries that opened up in Dallas. And yeah, I think when I lived in St. Louis, it was probably all like bars and then Anheuser-Busch, which I'm kicking myself now because they have such good beer there. And then I lived in San Diego before that. That was like way before I was 21. So I don't think I went to any breweries there, but I mean, I've been back many times and San Diego's incredible beer city as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Community Brewery here.
Cool. I was thinking about this for myself the other night and I was like, I know the first one I like consciously went to, but thinking back, I'm pretty sure I was in this like father-daughter bonding group, I don't know, something when I was little. And I have like a vague memory that one of our like meetings may have been at a craft brewery. I have no idea where, no idea what, but that actually just popped into my head, but no recollection whatsoever, really.
Oh, yeah. that's probably how my kids will be one day. I feel like we take them to breweries every single weekend. That's just like their life, what they know. So
it's so funny. Do you have like a cute little like, it looks like a keg or like a tap or something, but it's like for the kids.
We, Eleanor.
Like water or something.
At the brewery?
Yeah.
We don't. We have like a self-serve water thing that they're all obsessed with. And we actually have a coffee shop that opens up in the mornings on weekdays here. And so they get their little like steamed milk with vanilla. And so they drink their coffee with us, but
they feel
no, we really should get like a little, yeah, like something for kids. Like,
Do you know, the, like, but, you know the mini grocery carts at Trader Joe's?
Yes.
For the kids. I just think those are so cute. And I'm like, how do we make it beer themed? But for toddlers.
I know. Yeah. That's a big call.
but all not beverage related, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, so... And wait, so you said you were teaching art. What age?
So it was elementary school. So I had kindergarten, 5-year-olds up until 5th grade, which is like 10, 11-year-olds.
Okay, gotcha. That's funny. My mom is obsessed with some of the artwork I did like in elementary school. And it is still 15 years later. Professionally framed in my house.
Okay. And that's like, so cool.
But like not all of it, like specific pieces. And I'm like, I made that in 3rd grade.
Yeah.
It was like the crayon and watercolor day, if you know what I mean. Like how they,
I mean,
whatever.
I must say when I was teaching, I mean, some of the pieces of art would blow me away. And some of the kids were just like naturally talented and you know that it was like in them. But some of them, it was almost like happy accidents. Like when we were doing like that kind of stuff, like watercolor, pastels or like abstract kind of stuff. I mean, there are pieces that I took home. I was just like, can I have this? You're going to throw it away. And I have some of my old students' pieces and my kids' pieces up in our house too.
Yeah, there was just like this. And then the teacher made me join the art club. And it was during recess time. And I quit after a couple of weeks because I wanted my recess time back.
Yeah.
But I made this like creepy clay doll and it was supposed to look like you, but I was like, I don't have time for this. Shoved a bunch of random things on it and like, and just, it was horrible. And it's been on my mother's nightstand for 15 years. So elementary school art teachers are important.
Yes. Over here. Yeah. That was a very, very fun job.
So I wanted to ask you, what was it initially like deciding to, you know, open a brewery? That's such a huge undertaking. So scary starting a business, especially maybe makes it better, maybe makes it worse. But with your husband, what was it like starting out at first? Were you excited? Were you nervous? Did you have any worries or trepidations? I don't know. Like, tell me.
Yeah, there were definitely moments of nervousness for sure. I think it really helped that he had had that position at the brew pub, the Asian brew pub, for a while, because they gave him a tap that he could play with. And so when all these Dallas kind of like beer nerd types would come in, just like, oh my gosh, I love this hazy IPA, which was not a style that you saw in Dallas at the time. That made us way more confident. Like, you know what? We're getting a good response. Like, we can do this. You kind of have some like beer nerd followers already, which was super helpful. And then certainly on my part, I was like, oh my gosh, I teach art to, you know, kindergartners, first graders. I graduated with an art degree, but I had never done any kind of like professional art outside of commissions for things. And so, yeah, there was certainly some nervousness with that. But when we found our spot where we are still now, it was like this old garden fountain koi pond shop, just like in very, very bad condition. But like, we could see the potential, see the bones. And I feel like once we had our spot,
was it like enclosed or was it like greenhousey?
Enclosed. Like, there's a big like back area that we now have paved. But yeah, it was like they had all the parts for and like pumps and stuff inside. But it was just not maintained well and then closed for a few years before we got here. So
when you walked in, could you clearly see exactly the vision?
Yes, as we started to like kind of clean it up and work with it much more so. But immediately, I mean, we were lucky because there were so many like white walls and I was like, okay, I can paint like a big mural on this. I can work with like an installation on this. So as we kind of developed the space, it made me more confident. Like, you know what? We can make this cool. We can make it stand out. And then, yeah, working with my husband, I think I could see where people would be nervous to like, oh, I don't want to mix marriage with a business. But I think it really helps that we have very different positions. So like, I don't know anything about the creation of beer. I love drinking it. I love dissecting it, explaining it, but like that is his realm. He's in charge of that. And then vice versa. Like, he might have some ideas for a beer name or idea or theme, but he would never say like, you need to draw this particular thing into a label. So I think that's super helpful. We see each other all the time. We talk about the business all the time, but we're
absolutely
very much in our own lane, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you also, like, what you just kind of touched on it. How does the process of making a new beer go? Is he brewing it first and then maybe has an idea and you come up with something? Do you ever have the idea for how you want to present it first and then you figure out what kind of beer would make sense?
Yeah, definitely both of those things. Like, a lot of times we're not the most organized brewery. Like, we're very last minute with things like, oh shoot, we are running low on a triple IPA. Like, we should brew another one pretty soon. And kind of that realm, we're trying to get better about like planning out ahead of time, which has been very helpful for us, but kind of both, where like, we'll all sit down and say like, ooh, we should add strawberries and blueberries to a Berliner. And so I kind of like know it ahead of time so I can start thinking about it. But then a lot of times I might just feel inspired, like, oh, I want to use these colors and this imagery. And so I'll create a label and then the production team will tell me like, okay, we're doing whatever beer for this one. And then I'll just say like, cool, I already have a label made, pop a name on there and style. So it's kind of both, but both are very like unorganized. We're getting it out the last minute. Labels are being shipped in the day we need to take photos and release it. So do you do
the artwork for all of them yourself? Because it's really remarkable, seriously.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Of course.
Oh yeah. Thank you so much. It's definitely a very fun part of the job. I really enjoy that.
So have you had a favorite beer, or what's your favorite beer been that you've guys have brewed, your favorite label or combo? Like, is it ever the same one? Like,
yeah. Yes. Occasionally. And it really bothers me when I like love a label, but then the beer is not my favorite, or I like love a beer and I'm just kind of like, oh, I like worked really hard on this label, but it's just not doing it for me. That certainly happens. But there was one, it was called Cancel Culture, and it was just like a single hazy IPA, super simple, crisp, like clean, but juicy. It was delicious. And I really liked the label that I had done for that one. I used both, what's it called? The technique where you, oh, collage. So I like did a digital collage where I used parts of octopus, like tentacles, and old Greek sculpture imagery, but then like drew things over it. And I was just like, man, this one came together really well. And I loved the beer. So that was a fun one to.
That's awesome. Wait, what was that one called again?
It was called Cancel Culture.
Let me look it up real quick.
It was probably about like 6 months ago-ish, I believe.
It's hard because this is an audio thing, obviously. And then I'm like, but we got to be visual. Okay, wait, Cancel Culture. And then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did see this. I love this one. Like, no, so much.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and it was fun because we found these like little finger tentacles on Amazon that we used in our pictures and bubbles. So I feel like the whole concept came together very well.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like all of your concepts are great.
Oh, thank you.
And then also I wanted to ask, so one of my favorite things with craft beer, like bottling or canning and labeling everything, is I love colorful wax so much.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Like one of the most visually appealing things in the whole world. What are your thoughts on it? Do you like using it? How does that go? Do you do it yourself? Like who's doing it?
Yes, we do it ourselves. We have like fryers, like French fry fryers that we have two waxes going, one that's heating and one that's cooling down. And it is really fun. It's very satisfying. Like mixing the colors together, finding the perfect pastel that I want. I will say it takes so long. And anytime we do a barrel release, it's like anywhere from 250 to 500 bottles. And so it's really fun for the first, 20, 30. And then you're like, oh my gosh. But yeah, that is super fun.
That's awesome. Oh, and I see that you also do the, and like the little things that make me so happy and I swear make the biggest difference. And I wish every brewery would. And then also the colorful 4-pack tops.
Yes, yeah.
They're so amazing. It makes such a difference. And nobody else seems to like care that much. And I'm like, you don't understand. It makes a world of a difference.
A world of a difference. And I really wish, I mean, they have a ton of colors. I think they're like 15 to 20 to choose from. But I really wish they had more pastel colors. It drives me crazy. I'm like, oh, if we just had like a light coral or like a pale pink, oh my gosh, it'd be wonderful. But no, I think, yeah, I feel like all those details make a big difference with packaging and just kind of like the full aesthetic of a brand.
Oh my gosh, 100%.
Like, those things are very important.
So what are your goals with each new beer? Is it ever, a specific goal or, is it a goal from the brewing standpoint? Is it a marketing goal? Like, how do you kind of benchmark what you're trying to go for?
Yeah, I think right now, more in terms of the beer as opposed to the art, we're really trying to bring new ingredients into our hazy IPAs. I feel like we sort of feel a responsibility because we're one of the first breweries doing hazies in the DFW. And we're finding all these cool, like hop forms and cryo hash, these like thiol powder hop enhancers, like all these cool things that we're coming across. And we like love this kind of stuff. So I feel like certainly with our hazies, we've been trying to implement one or more forms of these kind of like concentrated hop forms. And I feel like those have been sort of polarizing. We've seen where a lot of people are expecting kind of like our signature taste or like a standard hazy. And it's bringing in our minds like more flavor and more kind of like resin, like just very like resinous, kind of like lingering concentrated flavors, which we love, which we find super interesting. I really think it's the future of hazies, but certainly that's our goal, to not only bring these new forms to people, but also really educate them on it. Like, and this is tasting this way on purpose, and this is why, kind of. Yes. Yeah. And so I feel like, as the head of social media, that's kind of falls under my umbrella title. That's kind of up to me in a lot of ways.
Which you should win a social media award for Celestial's page. Seriously.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. But just like being able to explain the beers in a way that's kind of like in a bite-sized way, people can like pick up, remember, take with them, explain to their friends when their friends are tasting it. Which I feel like that has been kind of our overarching goal lately. Just like, we need to explain hash to people. We need to explain cryo and phantasm. And then just kind of like a goal aesthetically, I really want to make every label fresh and new and visually interesting, but I really like when it ties into the whole brand. So I try to, as best as possible, like keep the same color palettes, keep the same imagery kind of coming back as new beers come out.
And so, you know, I'm scrolling through, and I'm scrolling through right now, just admiring and looking at your Instagram page, actually, and looking at your page, obviously, and your photography is incredible. Your props are incredible. I'm just literally so impressed. But I want to know, and I can't tell, I thought I saw some glassware. Aww. What is your thoughts on glassware? How much of it do you make? Like, what's that like?
Yeah, I feel like, again, that's like a very important thing to us, where we want the whole experience to kind of heighten the excitement in every way. So we want like bold color right when you walk in the door and on the beer menus, and when you get one, like, we want the glass to be aesthetically pleasing, which has come back to bite us many times, because so many people steal our glassware. It is insane the amount of glassware we order, and we kind of just like, we have some signs up, you know, a little bit passive aggressively, like, please don't steal it, you can buy it from us, it's not that expensive. But yeah, so I feel like that is something that's really important, especially on the photography side. Like, we don't want just a bunch of cups, glasses that don't have our branding on them. But we try to, like, you know what, even if they steal it, they're bringing it home, people might see it. It's like unintended advertising. But yeah, I think
half glassware, half good promotion. Like,
But we also don't want to, you know, go just to blank glassware, because we're like, oh, I don't know, that just doesn't seem us. So we just keep falling for it.
So funny. And so, you know, in my ideal world, every beer has its own glassware, like its own design, like looking like the label on the glass. But
that would be cool.
We can only dream.
Yes. Yeah. Occasionally, it's fun to, when you're organized enough to know what's coming out in like a month or whatever the glassware takes. We've done a few glasses that match the particular beer that's coming out, which I feel like people are always very into that, to get a glass that matches the release. So that's always fun.
Yeah. Do you do growlers? Do people stop in for that, or do you just do cans? And
we don't. So we used to have a crowler machine, which is, I don't know if you've ever seen those, but it is still packaged on site when people ask, but it packages these. We had 32 ounce like giant aluminum cans, just regular cans, but we felt like the packaging wasn't good enough. Like, crowlers, they last a long time. They actually last longer than growlers, but they don't last as long as cans. And so we're just like, you know what, because we're canning pretty much every single one of our beers except for one-offs, it doesn't make sense for us to say like, okay, you can get a crowler, just because people can grab cans anyway. So we got rid of that crowler. So we do not fill people's growlers, just because, again, we don't want people to come in with like a dirty growler and then that reflect on our product. So because we have so many to go options, we're just like, you know what? People can stick with cans, which has worked out pretty well.
I want to bring home the art. I don't want to bring home my own dish responsibility to clean then. Okay. So I want to know what your favorite part of the entire business is. What is your favorite part been? Because I feel like there's so many parts
I know.
That could
Honestly,
be favorites.
That's a really hard question because I just feel very lucky. I love the complete, creative freedom that I have. And then the ability, it's super nice to kind of be in charge of both social media and the can labels, but then also the brewery, like, aesthetic and tap room. So I feel like being able to tie in all these things has been super fun for me. But we're really lucky. On top of working with my husband, my sister is our tap room manager and events coordinator and our GM. So, and she's awesome. She's like the organized one of all of us, the planner, the one who like can envision these large events, which Matt and I certainly do not have that in our wheelhouse. That's not our forte. So I mean, that's super fun. And she's been
great at hiring.
So yeah. And just like our team has become like, it sounds cheesy, but become a lot like family. Like we have a very small team. We see each other all the time. We kind of all fit into this same mission and same, all the same goals. So it honestly, my favorite, I would say as a job, just on paper, I love the creative freedom to kind of weave the aesthetic that I like at the moment. I see something, I like it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to work with that, like into every part of the brewery. But yes, I mean, all the other parts are incredible. Working with family, being able to bring our kids here, our team, it's all really wonderful.
That's so cool. I love that that just works out like that. And so I'm curious, so with your inspiration, I know you're typically science space themed, but even within that realm, kind of where does the inspiration maybe typically come from?
I would say kind of from all over. We're pretty lucky in Dallas to have a very thriving art scene. We have quite a few museums in Dallas and Fort Worth, but then also, I mean, I feel like I'm on Pinterest every moment, just like, all right, kind of like getting inspiration color wise, like design wise, aesthetic wise. And like within Celestials, like the whole realm, it's so nice because we can just say like, we don't have a beer name. Let's dive into Wikipedia, look up names of galaxies, look up math terms that astronauts use. Like literally we're just like, okay, we need a name now. I need to put it on my label. And so I feel like that has been really nice to kind of have an overarching theme where like, okay, we might not know what to call this certain thing or this event, but like we can know where we have like the ability to like know where to look because it like all sort of falls under this like science, space, celestial umbrella.
So has there been a moment of inspiration that you were really taken aback by, or like a weird thing that was inspiring? It's the weirdest.
I'm sure there has
there ever been like a weird moment.
Interesting. I feel like maybe at least that comes to mind. I really want to use like live props, if that makes sense, in our photography. And so we were like looking around, we're like, if anyone has a snake, I just really want a snake. We have all these like snake themed beers, or like a live creature. We've done like some dog beers where we have like pups in the tap room. But we bought a couple fish because we did a West Coast, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to name it something about fish, design the label where we can use fish. And then I'm buying fish that day. Kind of a sad story. Most of the fish have passed away.
I'm looking at the goldfish.
Yeah. And so I was just like, I had this idea in my mind. Yeah. And I was just like, I just really want to use fish in a photo. So it was kind of nice because I was like, all right, back up. If we want to do that, I got to have a reason why we have fish. So just like
Anyone listening, go to Celestial Beer Works on Instagram. Post from April 22nd, 2021. Is it?
Yes. Yeah. It was this year.
April 22nd, 2021. I'm cracking up There's literally just like a fish sitting in a tiniest little bowl of water.
Oh yeah,
and on top of this beer can.
For all the animal enthusiasts, we did not keep those fish in there. Those were just for the pictures. We had a nice little tank for them later, but yeah, just I would like really wanted these like colors and this imagery and a little fishy on there. So yeah,
I love it. And I was I don't know why I was picturing like you went to the like market and got like a big slab. Like a full
live, big old fish.
Dead fish. so much. I'm loving that it was not that.
Yes.
So where was it? I wanted to ask you the inspiration and everything for Beautiful Oblivion, one of your beers. I love it. It looks like it's these weird, creepy hands coming out of something. And
yeah,
it reminds me of like the wax hands almost, and then but they're different colors, and then I just love this. I want to know why
this we brewed that beer twice now, and maybe the first time I was really getting into, if you kind of dig through our Instagram, we have a lot of gloves, colored gloves, just because, and
which
I kind of
are so fun and I
thank
love
you. Yeah, I just feel
and
like
that would work with nobody else's aesthetic.
Yeah, occasionally like, we see other breweries kind of like take things from our photos. I'm like, if anyone takes my glove idea, I'm going to be so mad.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how to like trademark that.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, I think the first time we brewed Beautiful Oblivion, it was around the time we'd started using the gloves, or maybe right before. And I was already working with kind of making it like sort of anonymous who was holding a beer. Like I wanted you, the viewer, to be able to picture themselves with the beer or not have like, oh, that's that guy in the tap room. Like I still want to show our amazing team in the pictures, but I feel like there's something about not knowing who it is and just like, it could be anyone, but then like making it funky in a way. And around that time we'd started like painting hands and like covering hands in glitter and, that kind of stuff. And so I think that was kind of my idea. Yeah, with that. And so we had some pictures of that beer, like with paint dripping. It was so messy. Sorry, Matt, got paint on all of our sidewalk, little squares out there.
Oh my gosh. I know, like, I really just love it so much.
Oh, thank you.
Like, it's just so unique, the pastel ones and the like shiny ones, but I think the pastel ones more. Yeah, it's funny that you say you wanted, like, even if you're just seeing a hand in a photo, it's funny because it's something I've kind of been dealing with like my Instagram page and everything is, and with my logo was, I was like, I don't know how I want this to be. Like when it's a picture of my hand, it's just a feminine hand kind of, but with the logo, I was like, I was struggling to figure out how that should look because I was either getting like really masculine or really feminine. Yeah. And it was like, I don't know what this in between vibe is. I think I got it, but not even seeing the hand is definitely also.
Yes. Yes. That too. But I feel like, something about even when in my paintings way before we started Celestial, there was just something about like strangely colored skin where you don't necessarily like know what race a person is or know their background, and they're human, but they're kind of like alien, which I feel like falls
it's very like alien easily vibe, into like our ET like vibe for sure. I wanted to ask, so I think, okay, so you're in science and space. I don't know how you can be into space without being into aliens. But also you have the science aspect, so I don't know what's what. How are you feeling about the UFO report? Do you believe in aliens?
I know.
What, like,
I don't personally, I feel like anything is possible. I don't know if I particularly believe that one, but I feel like, you know, you never know. Like there's a whole universe out there. We're just like one tiny planet. The likelihood
is
high.
So is that something you see like capitalizing on like the trend of it right now with the brewery?
The storming where everyone was like, we're going to go and storm.
Oh yeah. Area 59, is it?
Yeah. We did. gosh, I forgot the name of that beer, but we did some, like, it was a one-off. We didn't can that one, but kind of like played into that. And I feel like it's so fun, just even not necessarily aliens, but like any kind of celestial happening, like an eclipse or like any lunar state. It's been really fun where we can make a beer specifically for that, knowing it's coming.
Are you doing, do you ever do like Cancer season or like so a more funny, astrology side?
We
That's astrology, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. we were going to, it's still like sort of in the back of our minds, trying out a seltzer series where it was just like a non-canned every month or whatever. It was changing and we were going to name it the, like horoscope signs. And I feel like it's still, it's on the calendar. It pops up every single month whenever the new one starts. And we're like, oh yeah, shoot, haven't done that yet. And we made a seltzer one time and it had mixed reviews. And I feel like none of us are huge seltzer drinkers. And so I feel like it's not as exciting for us to make it. However, there is a big calling for it and people in Dallas seem to love it. People everywhere seem to love it. So yes, it's certainly on the back burner. And if it happens, it's going to be named after all the, horoscope symbols, signs.
That's so fun. And then, cause I just had an idea. So wait, quickly, I was wondering, you mentioned your sister does all the events and event planning and everything. Have you had any like cool events lately? Are they ever kind of within that theme? Cause I've been seeing a lot of, yoga at breweries lately. I've been seeing a lot of that. And I was just thinking as you were speaking, I was like, ooh, like you could have like a tarot reader or something.
Oh yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, we have night. Tons of, she's so good at her events, but every Saturday we have, it switches off. We have yoga, hit like high intensity training, hip hop dancing and Pilates that like switch off every Saturday. But yeah, we should do like something fun like that. I think we have, we had a group in today that wants to do a boozy bee, which is like a spelling bee. The more drunk you get, you try to spell things. I'm like, that sounds so fun.
That's hilarious. And they should be the hardest of the, the celestial beer names.
I know, you probably have
like some like hard science terms or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we do. But yeah, we actually have, it'll be our third annual adult science fair coming up in August, where we actually have people like come up with an experiment, make a try board. We have like every beer people order, they get a little ticket. And so you can vote on your favorite ones. And then
Are these science experiments like, or is it home? Do people bring in homebrew? So like
last year, no, there were no homebrew, but last year the winner was, it was an experiment on how well it was like growlers, cans, bottles, like what holds the beer best. But a lot of the experiments had nothing to do with beer. There was one trying to prove flat earth, which was pretty hilarious. Like one, it was like an experiment about their
cat. He like, look, I'll like, walk 10 feet
and yes, it'll exactly, stay straight. Yeah. Oh yeah. He was pretty intense. He had like balloons going up with like cameras and like, but yeah,
people get pretty into it, which is fun. Was what kind of science was he doing before?
He was mechanical engineering. But yeah,
let's tell the mechanical engineer.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I love that so much.
But yeah, that's been super fun.
Yeah. Have you, I'm just so curious about, so, okay, if people are coming to your brewery for a HIIT event and working out, to me, those people aren't the people who are running to grab a beer after. They're like running for some kale juice. Yeah. Are they lingering and drinking?
Yes. How does that work? Sort of. Like every one of our workout classes comes with two, we call them mission pours. They're like our 8 ounce flights, essentially, we call them missions. And so every single workout class comes with two of those. So for the most part, people stick around. We give them tokens. So sometimes people leave and then come back. They don't want to be here because HIIT, especially, you get like so sweaty and that's not my cup of tea.
I don't know if
like,
I could drink after that.
Yeah. I feel like I personally love our like hip hop dancing. HIIT, absolutely not. I'm not there on those days. But yeah, I feel like there's a pretty good mix of people that like want to quote unquote earn their beer and they come and do their workout and then stick around for some beers, which is really fun. But yeah, I could see where you would think that because some interesting combo of things.
Yeah. And wait, and you also said you have coffee. So how does the coffee shop pop up?
My friend that I graduated, I think, a year before me, at University of Dallas over in Irving, one of the suburbs of Dallas, he started a coffee shop about 15 minutes away, and they do a lot of like canned iced coffees that are delicious. And mm-hmm. so when they upgraded to a better or larger espresso machine, they were like, oh, our just old one is in the garage. And I was like, oh, would you ever want to, I think at first we were like, would you want to give it to us and we can hire our own baristas? But then he was like, actually, do you want me to just open up a second location of Peaberry, which is the coffee shop inside? So it's pretty nice. So starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, they do coffee and then we have like an overlap. They go till 3, we open up at 2. So it's kind of nice. People can come in before, get some work done and then stay into having beers or just grab
that's
a coffee
like the
and go.
Perfect vibe. It's like mm-hmm. a full day vibe.
Oh yeah.
and then also does he do his own?
No, like, there's a pretty good, roastery. I think they're in like Addison, another one of the suburbs, but yeah, he gets the beans from them, makes all their coffees and then they bring it over to us.
Cool. Yeah. I was just asking because I was just, speaking with someone that they also do coffee. And it was interesting because they started using the coffee beans in their coffee stouts and everything. So it was interesting to see how that
goes. And we made a few coffee stouts with the beans from Island Coffee Roasters that mm-hmm. they use before they ever opened up here. So it's kind of cool that we now have sort of like a crossover in that way too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also, I think when we were chatting before, you had mentioned that you've put together like some of like some coloring pages or something for the kids mm-hmm. and stuff that's kind of like themed after everything. Is that something that you have a lot of fun with? Do the kids love?
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And a lot of people like, I mean, it's a very family-friendly place. So we have like that. We have games for kids. We have like all kinds of little things for them to do. This, it was called a children's museum, but it wasn't really a museum. It was like more of a play place that had a bunch of like interactive toys that closed down during COVID. So we actually bought... it's like made out of PVC pipe and they're giant magnets. So we put it on the side of our cooler so kids can just like make different little slides almost for little ping pong balls. And so,
oh my gosh,
that's been like really fun.
I love that you literally have, it's like Disney World and that you got like, you never need to leave. You have like from working in the morning with the coffee, beer at night.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to leave for your workout. Your kids are chilling.
Yeah.
Like you can bring them in, whole day ordeal. I love that.
Yes, that is the goal.
So either since you've started or, and I know we got to wrap up soon. Either since you've started Celestial or even beforehand, do you have any favorite memories associated with beer?
We've had so many cool experiences here, but one that certainly sticks out, it was in our first year of opening, probably like maybe 6 months in, we had a friend of my husband's that sent up, they're called payloads. So you like send up some things into space on a rocket. And so he was like, oh, I really want to get, he was a big beer nerd. And so he's like, do you want to send up some hops with us? I'm like, oh my gosh. So we reached out to this really cool hop company, this hop farm called Crosby. And we got some Comet hops, which were super new at the time, and sent those up into space with this guy's payload. And then we brewed a beer with it called Space Party. And so that was really fun because we had the Exos Aerospace engineers come and they gave a talk and they showed a video. Unfortunately, it did not make it all the way up to space. It made it to the like stratosphere or something.
Did it come back down?
Cool. It came back down. So we got the Comet hops. We were able to make the beer. Beer was delicious.
Oh, wait, it went up and then came. Wait, I'm sorry. So they're sending something up and then bringing it back down?
New,
or they are trying to just launch it off?
I forgot the name.
The goal is to get it back.
So it's like this returning, it's the first of its kind. It's a rocket ship that like goes up with no astronauts in there. They're just like all these engineers on the ground. And then it comes back down and it's like docks itself. I don't know the terminology for it. So yeah, so we got the hops back. We were able to make the beer with the hops. And I feel like it was so cool
So then you're like, I'm drinking hops, whatever that was in like space or almost.
Yeah, almost in space.
And so which beer was that?
It was called Space Party. So it was like way in the beginning. But it was cool because like a very family
so
friendly.
Much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how much you
it was a
send
small
up.
Amount.
I don't know
it, was like,
one little piece.
We had to put way more hops in there than
I was going to say.
Just a tiny bit of it. Like,
No, it's still so cool. I love that so much. Okay, well, I know we got to wrap up here. I'm just having so much fun talking to you. Mm-hmm. So before we leave, I wanted to... where did this go? I just wanted to give you a chance to... You know, let us know about any upcoming beers you're really excited about or any events, and where can people find you online?
Yeah.
And anything else you want to just throw out there?
Yeah, sure. So the release that I was talking about kind of in the beginning with Jester King, the Farm Hash, that just released today. So that one is online available. We took a bunch of fun little like farm goat pictures with it this morning, which was awesome. And I feel like that is one that we're like, super excited about, been thinking about it for forever. So really want to plug that one, but feel free anyone to follow us. Instagram is probably the best place. We're also on Facebook, and I just joined TikTok, but I feel like such a grandma on there. I do not know how to use that.
Oh my God.
So.
I'm 23 and I can hardly even,
I know.
Don't understand. I simply don't understand anymore.
I know. Yeah, we try, but. But yeah, Instagram
is the best. I took like a 3-year break from social media, and next thing I know, it's not the same thing.
No.
I give up on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
So Molly at, see what Molly and Celestial Beer Works is up to. Their Instagram, it's just Celestial Beer Works at CelestialBeerWorks. And you will be wildly impressed when you see this page.
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm so serious. It's the amount of work and planning and artistry and effort put into this is just, it jumps off of the screen.
Oh, thank you.
I just really appreciate it as a consumer.
And I have to put in a little plug and a shout out for our photographer that takes most of these photos with me. Her name is Sarah. She's incredible. She was one of our bartenders for a long time, still is. And then just started helping me with the pictures. And I feel like all of the shots you see that are like ethereal and crisp and gorgeous, they're almost all Sarah. So I feel like the two of us have like a great time, like working together, kind of like setting up these shots and splashing. So yeah, I can't get off of this without shouting her out.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. The more I'm so deep back now, it's not even funny. And it's just
really?
continuously something I'm obsessed with. Okay,
oh,
but
good.
I gotta let you go. Well, thank you so much, Molly. It was so much fun getting to talk to you.
Such a pleasure, Jenna. This was so fun.
It was fantastic speaking.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited to listen back to this podcast and hear the rest of them.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you have a wonderful day.
Okay. You too, Molly. Yeah. Bye. Have a nice day.
Bye-bye, Jenna.
Okay, so I just had the most fun chatting with Molly Reynolds from Celestial Beer Works. She's co-owner, co-founder, along with her husband, and she is the creative director of everything at Celestial Beer Works in Dallas, Texas. If you haven't yet opened your phone to see what these beers look like and to see what Celestial looks like and what everything Molly does, you know, really is, then I mean, do it now. I just really, really like it. It's such a good vibe, such a great aesthetic. like the pastels, but the designs and the hands, and it's like the most whimsical yet eerie yet like scientific and just crazy brand, and I'm just really kind of obsessed with it. So I hope to talk to Molly soon and follow up with her. We were actually chatting about a few potential opportunities to collaborate together. A couple of things I just wanted to mention from this was, one, they literally like made beer that went to space. And that's very loosely said. They made beer with hops that almost left the atmosphere or stratosphere. I don't know. But you know what? That's so cool. I want to drink that. Like, I don't even care if it's like one little, oh gosh, what's a like, tiny piece of hop called? Is it like a nug? Is that a thing? Like, I don't know. But also, so fun to learn that basically this brewery, Celestial Beer Works, basically like originated on Tinder, because that's where she met her husband and then they started the brewery together. So I think that's hilarious to have a brewery that started on Tinder. That's just hilarious. And also, I love that I was able to, and we talked for just a hot second about aliens and whatever, because I mean, they are space themed, and what's in space? I don't know, aliens. And this is actually the second interview in a row I have been able to somehow work aliens into the conversation. I'm not like this huge alien person, but I think it's hilarious and I think that's funny. And I love that. I think now, okay, if you're actually listening to this at the very end, you can be in on the secret. I think that we should have a secret mission for every single interview I do, secret mission to try to get them to talk about aliens. What do you think? I feel like that is hilarious. And if I can somehow weave aliens into every single interview, I would love that. Okay, that's my new secret goal. So if you're here, if you stuck with me, if you're here at the very, very end of this, you're the first to know or first to be a part of my secret mission of make brewers talk about aliens. Oh my God, I can't say it with a straight face, but I'm so excited. And yeah, as Molly mentioned, you can find her and the brewery at Celestial Beer Works, which is just Celestial Beer Works on Instagram. They have a website too. I think it's linked on there. And so pretty please make sure to click follow or subscribe wherever you are listening to this podcast. Stay up to date and follow along with what I'm doing, what we're drinking. And, you know, as these episodes are published, I am posting kind of like matching posts on social media so you can follow along with the beers we mention and talk about. So yeah, so stay up to date, follow along to actually see the beers and breweries we're talking about on Instagram at Beer Can Lover. That is at Beer Can Lover on Instagram. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or want to tell me about a brewery or brewer or an artist that you think I should interview, I would love to hear from you. So please drop me a message or email or your comment, suggestion, whatever it is, at pod@beercanlover.com. That is pod@beercanlover.com. I will see you guys next week. Bye.